With signs and wonders, you've shown your power. With precious blood, you've shown us your grace. You've been our helper, our liberator, the giver of life with no end.
We will remember the works of your hand. We will stop and give you praise, for great is thy faithfulness.
When we walk through life's darkest valley, we will look back at all you have done.
And we will shout, our God is good, and He is the faithful one. Hallelujah, hallelujah, to the one from whom all blessings flow.
I still remember the day you saved me, the day I heard you call out my name. You said you loved me, would never leave me, and I've never been the same.
Well, good morning to everyone, and good to see you here. Glad to have each and every one of you, and welcome to Calvary Baptist Church of Powder Springs. And it's just a wonderful Lord's Day. The sun is shining on the outside. The sun is shining on the inside. And we all need vitamin C. That is vitamin Christ. And I want to say that we had a wonderful week here at VBS, at the church this past week, and as the photos were just being shown a bit ago, we had just a tremendous time together, from Bible lessons to game time, to the time we were gathered in the sanctuary to sing. And we praise the Lord of all the avenues we had to show of our VBS. We Facebook lived it and took photos again, and so just a wonderful time. And I want to say and give a very special thank you to all those who helped, from those who prepared the meal. Jack and Jackie, we appreciate them. They did a wonderful job all week preparing meals and snacks, meals for the staff and snacks for the kids. And those who, again, helped with game time, helped with the Bible lessons, and just all of it put together was a success. And we appreciate that. We had a total of 38 kids, And that's tremendous. That's tremendous. And they kept coming back each night and inviting friends and quoting Bible verses. And seeds were definitely planted. Some seeds were watered. The seeds had already been planted. And so we're very thankful for that this morning. And I do want to mention this before we go any further in the service. There will be a 5-minute deacons meeting after the AM service this morning. And 5 minutes, that's tentatively 5 minutes. And so, deacons, remember that. Not long, just a brief deacons meeting after the service this morning. And no service tonight due to Father's Day. We would like everyone to spend time with their families, enjoy the blessings of God together on this evening. I do want to say happy Father's Day to all you fathers this morning. And so... we appreciate you fathers, and I want to say it's an honor to be a father. And the longer as the years pass by, I'm understanding my role more and more, and I'm also understanding how that God puts one woman and one man together, and they're one unit to serve in the home, and how that they're different characteristics that comes from the woman, that comes from the man, and it takes both to build a home and to have a child that's serving the Lord. And so we appreciate father and mother this morning. And let me just mention a couple people on our prayer sheet. Miss Barbara Ann is at Anderson Mill Rehabilitation Center in Austell, and so she is out of Emory Midtown, and she is on her way to wellness and being back at home. So we praise the Lord for that. And I did see that Larry Bennett's cousin Alan is either was admitted or in the hospital or on his way back from the hospital due to some complications with his health. So let's remember him. And we have a lengthy prayer list, as we say every Sunday, but do remember these people. Miss Betty Berry, she wanted to be here this morning, and I know Brother Allen will say more about that in a moment perhaps, but while I'm here, she wanted to be here this morning, but her body just would not allow her to be here. And so you remember her and his family when you pray. Well, without any further ado, let's get right to the service this morning. And again, we appreciate you being here, and let's see what the Lord has for us on this Father's Day today. Heavenly Father, we thank you, we love you, we praise you for who you are, Lord, and for what you do. Lord, we're thankful for Vacation Bible School, and God, how that you use that as an avenue to bring kids to the church. And we're thankful for our youth, but for those who came in, Lord, from Powder Springs and Austell, Hiram even, Lord, we're thankful. I pray, Lord, that they would come back, and I pray the families, the moms and dads would sense an urgency to come to church and learn about you as well, and to raise their family upon a sure and steady and strong foundation, the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, I thank you for these that are here this morning. Thank you for the fathers who have come. Lord, thank you for the families that have come to support their fathers that are here. We pray, Lord, for a special touch upon the service this morning. We thank you for what you've done concerning our prayer list. Thank you for what you're going to do concerning the folks that are on our list as well. Move in the service this morning. Be with us. Lord, we'll praise you for all that you do. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Choir, would you stand? Church, would you stand with me this morning? Turn over to page number 393. Page 393, let's all stand and sing "When We All Get to Heaven." Page 393, everyone sing together.
Sing the wondrous love of Jesus. Sing His mercy and His grace. In the mansions bright and blessed, He'll prepare for us a place. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus.
Jesus will sing. And on the last, onward to the prize before us, soon his beauty will behold. Soon the pearly gates will open, we shall tread streets of gold. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory. Amen. That's good singing. Thank you. You can be seated, choir. You can be seated as well. So good to see you in the house of the Lord this morning. We may have mentioned this a few moments ago. If not, I just want to mention it. If we did, I apologize. Anyone in the house this morning may be visiting with us for the very first time. If you don't mind just giving us a record of your attendance this morning, with us for the first time. All right. If you are visiting with us, you are our special guest, and we thank you for choosing Calvary as your place of worship, and we invite you to come back and be with us anytime that you can, and we're just so glad to see you. Some are here, we know, for Father's Day, and we just pray that you'll have a great day with your family here in the house of the Lord together. That's a great, great time to spend, and I know that fathers and families are glad to have you here with us today in the house of the Lord. So we just pray the Lord would give you a great day today. Yes, sir. Good. See Brother Harold about that, and he'll get you fixed up, hooked up. That's a great tool, so please see Brother Harold concerning that. All right. Again, no service this evening. Give you an opportunity to spend time with your family today. Today, guys, as you know, it is pies for guys. Amen. And maybe nobody will get trampled on the stairs heading to the fellowship hall after the morning service. Again, that is after the morning service, all right? Just please remember that. But that is a great thing, and we appreciate it, ladies. You go to a lot of special effort, and we really appreciate it. It's always a great time, and we appreciate that. We appreciate the fact that you honor us in that way. And we just thank the Lord for that, and praise the Lord for this great day, and a happy Father's Day to everyone. Let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer. Ask him to be with us next Sunday also, next Sunday morning. Normally, we would have our youth service on a Sunday evening, but next Sunday morning would be our youth service. Brother Brian will be bringing a message next Sunday morning. And is it Brother who's taking care of our music? Brother Austin taking care of our music? All right. So everything is taken care of for next Sunday morning. You come. Be a great Sunday morning youth service next Sunday morning. Be much in prayer about that. But again, no service tonight, and we look forward to a great, great day this morning. Pray for Pastor as he brings our message here in a few moments. Let's ask the Lord to be with us. Yes? Children's Church, stay up this morning, all right? Stay upstairs this morning, Children's Church, to be with your dads, and let's go to the Lord now in a word of prayer. Father, we love you, praise you, and thank you, Lord, for this great day. And Lord, as it's already been said a couple of times, I've heard it this morning in prayer, Lord, we want to tell you Happy Father's Day. Lord, I'm so grateful to know you as my Heavenly Father. Lord, if there'd be someone here this morning that can't say that, I pray that this would be the day that they'd realize that, come to know you, Lord, as the Lord of their life, that they could do the same today and be able to call you their Heavenly Father, Lord, before they leave here today. Lord, be with our pastor and touch him. Speak through him, Lord. May our hearts and our minds be open to receive your word. Lord, maybe some are going through some difficult times, and Lord, we know of many prayer requests. Some are physically hurting. Lord, some may be emotionally. Lord, maybe today is just a hard day for some. Lord, we understand that and realize that. And Lord, I pray that you just touch your hearts here in a very special way here today in the house of the Lord. Lord, I pray that you would just give everyone a great day today. Lord, and I pray that you bless the offering, both the gift and the giver. Lord, may the Holy Spirit fill this place today, touch our hearts and minds, and again, open our hearts to receive your word. We'll praise you and thank you for all that's done. Lord, just give us a great day on this Father's Day, and we'll praise you for it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you.
keep on, keep
storms never last. They always fall apart. Storms are only temporary, and the Lord has a purpose for them. Let's take our Bibles for a few moments this morning and turn to the New Testament book of 1 Corinthians, chapter number 16. 1 Corinthians 16 is going to be our place of reading. 1 Corinthians 16, in the next few moments. I want to read one verse out of 1 Corinthians 16, that's verse number 13. Then we're going to bring the message this morning. We feel the Lord has laid on our heart. Heavenly Father, we come one more time in Jesus' name. Lord, we're thankful for your house. We're thankful for your people, Lord. We're thankful for music with a message that strengthens us, Lord. As we just sung, that storms never last, they never do. Father, I pray for the next few moments that you would help me, Lord, to use your word to the hearts of your people. I pray that, Holy Spirit, you would do the communicating. I pray that as a result of this service today, we would be better Christians. We love you, thank you, and we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. Book of 1 Corinthians, chapter number 16. Notice, if you would, verse number 13. Bible says, "Watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit you like men, be strong." Watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit you like men, be strong. This verse this morning, we have the Apostle Paul, and he is addressing the church of Corinth, but some other details that Paul is addressing not only applies to the church of Corinth, but he mentions Timothy in chapter number 16. He mentions a man by the name of Apollos. Then he mentions the house of Stephanus. And he mentions some others in chapter number 16. In verse number 10, if you notice, concerning Timothy, he says, "Now if Timotheus come, see that he may be with you without fear, for he worketh the work of the Lord, as I also do. Let no man therefore despise him, but conduct him forth in peace, that he may come unto me, for I look for him with the brethren." So he's talking about Timothy here and his coming forth into the church, and how they were to receive him in peace and conduct him appropriately. Verse number 12 mentions a man, Apollos. The Bible says, as touching our brother Apollos, I greatly desired him to come unto you with the brethren, but his will was not at all to come at this time. But he will come when he shall have convenient time. Again, Paul also addresses several churches, not just the church of Corinth, but in verse 1 he mentions the church of Galatia. And then in verse number 19, he says, the churches of Asia salute you. Aquila and Priscilla salute you much in the Lord with the church that is in their house. This morning in chapter number 16, he does mention Timothy and Apollos and Stephanus and many churches. And then he gets to verse number 13. And he says, watch ye. Stand fast in the faith, quit you like men, be strong. So he addresses some men here in chapter number 16. And he gives their detail in the ministry concerning this particular spot in Bible history. And then he caps it off with a charge to men. In verse 13, Paul literally says, man up. He says, man up. Now, the phrase, notice the phrase in verse 13. He says, quit you like men. In other words, be a man, Timothy. When it comes to Timothy, I believe that Paul, when he mentions verse 13, tells Timothy to be a man when it comes to pastoring. If Timothy was going to pastor, he would have to be a man. The man or the men of this church and the men of the churches he mentions, Galatia, Corinth, Asia, were to be men. Apollos, he mentions, was to be manly. The house of Stephanus, the men thereof were to be manly. And so he addresses churches and he addresses Timothy and he addresses Apollos and he addresses these several churches, the house of Stephanus, and he says, watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit you like men, be strong. He says, listen, men, it's time to be men. He says, man up. Now, the phrase quit you like men also means to render one manly or brave. It means to show oneself a man and not a coward. It means to be bold and brave. I want to say this morning that God created men to be brave hearts. We're to be bold and wise as serpents, but harmless as doves, as the Bible says. We're to be bold men. And we're to be loving men. We're to be brave hearts of the house. We're to be heroes of the home. And we're to definitely man up. I want to say, starting with this position behind the pulpit, all the way from here to there, we all have the call to man up as being men. From the bravest man in here spiritually to the weakest or cowardly spiritually, we all have room to man up. And so Paul addresses men here. Watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit you like men, be strong. Paul literally says to man up. Our brotherhood just finished watching the movie Courageous, and we spent actually a couple months watching it, and we just love rolling it back, you know, and watching several clips of our favorite parts. But nonetheless, in the movie Courageous, there were several dads in the police department that had several scenarios in their life. Number one, there was a dad who showed partiality to his daughter, and he neglected his teenage boy. And there was friction in the home because of that. And we all know that we can't, and it's not good, never is, to show partiality to kids because one will feel neglected, one will feel unloved and secondhand. But a situation happened there in that home where, unfortunately, the daughter died in a car wreck. And now the dad was positioned with the son to spend time with him. There was another scenario with another dad in the police department where the dad was trying to shield the daughter from seeing a young guy, and rightfully so, because the young guy was in a gang. He'd got initiated into a gang, and he had actually gotten into a shootout toward the end of the movie. And so there was another scenario having to do with dating in the home. And then there was another dad in the scenario, and this dad actually stole drugs from the crime lab or the drug place inside the jail where they kept all the drugs and paraphernalia and such, evidence. And so he stole some drugs and sold them to make ends meet, and that was his predicament in life. And there was another dad and another young cop where he actually had a daughter that he never met, and she was a toddler, and he had that scenario he was facing. And also there was a construction worker, and we can't forget about him in the movie. And this construction worker, he was out of work, but he needed work. And there was bills due, and so he was in a financial strain. Javier was his name. Funny Javier. And so all of these situations in this movie, they all had different predicaments. One was showing partiality and neglecting the son. And the other one was trying to shield his daughter from a guy who was in a gang that wanted to date her. And the other one was stealing drugs from work out of the evidence lab to make ends meet. And then the other one had a daughter that he needed to meet and be part of her life, and then the other had financial strains. Listen, all of these dads were dads, and they had situations going on where they needed to man up. They needed to be bold and be brave. Toward the end of the movie, we know that the first dad, he and his son became very, very close. And then the other guy that was in the gang that the dad was shielding the daughter from, he went to jail. And on we go. The other one, the actual dad, went to jail for selling the drugs. And the other dad met his daughter, and Javier finally got steady work. They had to man up. They had to be bold, and they had to be brave. And listen, that call is still out today. Even on this Father's Day, where Paul says, watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit you like men, and be strong. The title of the message this morning is simply that, it's just man up. Again, starting behind the pulpit and going out that way to all men. And listen, this message this morning isn't to just dads and husbands. It isn't to just men, but it's to everyone. Everybody, man or woman, there's room in all of our lives to get on the saddle and grab the harnesses and really go hard for God if we want His best in our life. I want to mention three truths this morning. Three truths that's found in verse number 13 that I believe if we take to heart, we can actually excel in our Christian life. We can excel in the home, and God will get glory out of our lives. I want you to notice number one in verse 13. We see the pivotal position of a man. The pivotal position. Look at the first two words here in verse 13. He says, watch ye. Watch ye. Watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit you like men, be strong. A man this morning is to be a watchman. He is a watchman. And this is a very pivotal position that the man has in the home if he's a father, if he's a husband. He has a pivotal position. He's to be a watchman this morning. And the very words watch ye means to take heed. It means to give strict attention to. It means to keep awake. It means to be watchful. And I want to ask all of the men this morning who are fathers and husbands, husbands and fathers, are we being watchful in our homes? Are we keeping awake spiritually in our homes? Are we giving strict attention to our homes this morning? As a man, we're in a very pivotal position. The Bible says that we are to watch. We're to be watchmen. And what have we been watching as men? What has our attention in life as men? Does God have our attention in life? Are we being His watchmen over the families that God has given us? Sometimes it's easy to be distracted as a man. To be anybody, it's easy to be distracted. We're living in a distracting world where money and the flesh and the world and lust and different things are all in front of us. And it's easy to be distracted. That's why it's much more reason to be grounded and rooted, to be faithful in church, to be here every time the doors open. And when there's an event, when there's a vacation Bible school, when there's something going on, we need to be here and be in fellowship. That way we can be strengthened in our homes and see the effect thereof. But we see the pivotal position of a man. He says, watch ye. Matthew 24:42 says this, watch therefore, for ye know not what hour your Lord doth come. Just another verse concerning being watchful and being a watchman. Mark chapter number 14 and verse number 38, the Bible also says, watch ye and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. The spirit truly is ready, but the flesh is weak. We're to be watchmen this morning. We're to watch and we're to pray. In other words, we're to live life with one eye closed and one eye shut. That's literally what that verse means. It says watch and pray. We're to be watchful and we're to pray at the same time and keep all of our lines tight that are in God's water. Keep it reeled in and keep it tight so we can feel the tugs and that way we can feel the bites on the other end of the line. Whether it's the devil, whether it's the Lord calling us, whether there's something going on in the home. If we have tight lines, we'll know that. Leads me to my next question. What lines do we have that are cast in the waters of life that are loose? Do we have any loose lines this morning? If there's loose lines in our marriage, it's time to tighten it up. If there's loose lines in our parentalhood, we need to tighten those things up. That way, when something goes on in our marriage and we sense something that's different, maybe our spouse is a little standoffish, we'll know that something's going on. Whether it's an emotional situation she has and she needs more tender care and love, that we can sense that. No matter what the situation is, when it comes to the kids, if our lines are tight, we can feel there's something wrong with my daughter. I better go and check it out. But if I have loose lines, how am I to know? Because the line's loose. She's way out there. My wife is out there. She's emotionally hurt. I don't even realize it because I have loose lines. We need to keep tight lines this morning. We need to be watchmen. We need to be fishermen. Again, Mark 14:38 says, watch ye and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. The spirit truly is ready, but the flesh is weak. We know how weak the flesh is, don't we? Flesh is weak. Our flesh must be brought in subjection each and every day. And in fact, Paul says, I die daily. Listen, devotion to God must be number one. The true pyramid of life is this. It's our relationship with God first, then our relationship with spouse second, then relationship with child third. That's the way it falls. Because if my relationship with God isn't right, I won't be the husband I need to be, nor the father. And the wife or the spouse has come before the child. And mom and dad have to have a strong bond in order to parent like they should. If one parent says yes and the other parent says no, to every time the child has a question, there's going to be chaos in the home. That's why it must be God first. And then it's spouse unity. And then comes the demands and commands to the children. Tight lines. Being watchful and praying. How are our lines this morning? Do we even have a line in the water? Or have we retreated and, like the disciples many times, have toiled all night and caught nothing and went and washed their nets and put their fishing lure up and parked their boat and went home? I want to say this morning, as husbands, as dads, as men in general, we're called to be in the boat. We're called to go out into the deep. We're called to unravel our nets and get our nets dirty. And we're called to cast our nets. And we're called to have tight lines in this world. Listen, I don't always succeed at that. Nobody always succeeds at that in this room or in this world. But this is one thing I always tell people when I'm talking with someone or counseling someone or just being brother to someone. I say, how is your care factor? I like to say factor after a lot of words. I don't know. How is your care factor? Are you trying? Do you even care anymore? Because if a person truly cares and they're truly trying, that's the only thing God requires, is to try. It gets dangerous when there is no care factor. It gets dangerous when we mentally assent and say, you know what, things will never change and I'm just going to quit trying and just go through the motions. Listen, it shows. It shows when we mentally assent and say, I'm just going to go through the motion. Nothing will ever change. This is what I've always done. It'll never be different. And so I don't care. Listen, when our care factor is gone, it will show this morning. So we see the pivotal position of a man. And that is, he's to be a watchman. The Bible says, watch ye. Stand fast in the faith. Quit you like men, be strong. This morning is time to man up in the area of being a watchman. As men, we are pivotal. We are watchmen in the area of husbands and dads, Christians, grandparents, workers. Let's be watchmen this morning. There's a second thing I want to share. Not only the pivotal position of a man, but out of verse number 13, I want us to look at the persistent call of a man. The persistent call. Notice what he says. Watch ye, but then he says, stand fast. Stand fast in the faith. This has to do with the persistent call of a man to stand fast in the faith. The word stand fast means to be persistent. It means to persevere. It means to keep your standing. It means to keep fighting. It means to keep battling. It means to keep digging. It means to keep pouring. It means to keep loving. It means to keep being that mentor. Keep being that friend. It means to keep showing mercy and keep forgiving. The persistent call of a man sounds like a hero to me. The call of a man is a heavy call. It's a call where you're to be the set pattern. You're to be the one who sets the pattern, shows the example, to be the example. Sometimes it's hard being a man, but nonetheless, that's the call. He says, watch ye, stand fast in the faith. Let's not give up or give in so easy with our spiritual pursuits. He says, stand fast in the faith, and that is the calls for Christ, your walk with God. God's call for men and women is at least one thing this morning. And that is to stand. We sang the song, or at least we used to, and maybe we will much more, but stand up for Jesus. Ye soldiers of the cross. He talks about standing up for Jesus and getting in your spot and putting on the armor and being held accounted for. My question is, how many men are still standing for spiritual things spiritually? Again, we're living in a world where there's confusion and distraction, and there's the area of politics and being politically correct. Listen, we don't need any politically correct men in 2019. We need biblically correct men in 2019, ones who stand for the truth. And listen, if we don't stand for the truth and say, thus saith the word of God, our homes aren't going to be standing homes. We'll have sinking homes, and we'll have bitter tears, and we'll have reminiscences of things of how they could have been and what we should have done. But let's stand this morning, men. Stand up for Jesus, ye soldiers of the cross. Be held accounted for. Be persistent. Persevere. Don't give in and don't give up, no matter how many times you failed, no matter how many times that doubt has crept in and you say, I wish they would. No. Stand. Notice what Ephesians says. Turn, if you will, to Ephesians chapter 6. Verse number 13. He says, Ephesians 6, verse 13, "Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day." And notice this. "In having done all, to stand." The call this morning is to stand. Doesn't matter if you're the last man standing. Stand. Verse 14 says this. "Stand, therefore." He says, if you've done all of these things, and if you have put on the Lord Jesus and have applied His armor, in other words, just acknowledging who He is in your life, He says, "And having done all, to stand." He says, you're now standing. You acknowledge who Jesus is in your life, and He's the one that gives the victories in the battles of life. Verse 14, "Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness, your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints." He says that we have to acknowledge our weakness and understand God's greatness. And there needs to be a role reversal daily for men, women, boys, and girls. And we do this, we will be able to stand. The problem is many times, and listen, I'm guilty of this as well, many times I don't focus on how great God is and how enabled I am. But I try to attack battles from time to time in the ability of my own rotten flesh. And I say, "Okay, God, I got this one. I got this, Lord. I'll use you in this next battle, but I got this." And when I do that, the role reversal has switched. And I'm unable to conquer. I'm unable to stand. In the times that I fall short, in the times that I fall, in the times that I stumble in life, it's because there's been a role reversal between me and Jesus. Has there been a role reversal between you and Jesus? Have you come this morning understanding that greater is He that's within you than he that's in the world? If you have done that, you are standing this morning. If you understand that there's nothing that can separate you from the love of God, no tribulation, no trial, no anything, then you are standing this morning. But if you have come this morning thinking how great you are, thinking how you've got life by the horns, and you are riding this thing, and you're making your money, and you're taking care of your family, that's fine. But if you have come this morning and pride is your issue, and you are a man, and you just tell your wife what to do in a spirit of arrogance, you're not being a man. You're not being a man at all, and you're not standing. The Bible says those that want to be first must be last. And this morning, if you want to stand, you got to get down. You got to acknowledge you're nothing before God. You got to acknowledge you can't be the husband without God. You got to acknowledge you can't be the parent without God. Listen, I can't do anything apart from the Lord, and I may not be doing much for Jesus, but there's one thing. I'm standing for Him this morning, and I'm preaching His word the best I can. And I want to challenge all fathers this morning to get up from sitting and stand for Jesus. Stand up for Jesus. This is a brotherhood, man. We're in this thing together. Don't retreat and isolate yourself. Come out and walk in the sunshine. Boy, if I could sing this morning, I'd sing, "Cheer up, my brother. Cheer up, my brother. Walk in the sunshine. We'll understand by and by." Listen, it's in the sunshine where there's vitamin C. It's in the sunshine is where we're dried out. It's in the sunshine where our frowns turn to smiles. Listen, that's the proven thing. That's the proven thing. Darkness does not bring a smile. But light brings a smile. I'll tell you what. A lot of the times, I never like to be in the dark. But when I'm at home and maybe I've been gone all day, I like to come home. And especially when the sun is shining through toward the end of the day, it gets so bright that I can't even see the TV if I'm watching TV. And so I turned the, twist and turn the blinds down. One day last week, I did that, and it got so dark because it was about to rain. And simple illustration, I said, you know what? Man, I'm just sad all of a sudden. Brother Ceylon, this is just, I mean, it's about to rain and getting ready to go to VBS and, and it's dark. And you know what I did? I just got up and turned the kitchen light on, light everywhere. I got happy. There's just something associated with darkness that brings sadness and light that brings gladness. And my word today is, it's just to get out of the dark, get out of that dark place, get out of that dungeon. Don't retreat, but defeat the flesh through Jesus and walk in the light. Well, this morning we see that Paul says, having done all, stand. And I want to ask a question to all of us. If wherever you're at this morning spiritually, have you done all that you could have in your situation? If you're defeated, have you done all you could have not to be defeated? Because Paul said, having done all, to stand. Whatever it is, if you're defeated, have you done all? And if you're in victory today, evidently you have done all. Having done all, to stand. Talking about the persistent call of a man. Back to our text verse this morning, 1 Corinthians chapter number 16, verse 13, says, watch ye, stand fast in the faith. The persistent call of a man. We're to stand fast in our pursuit of Jesus. What did Paul say in the book of Philippians? He talked about and said that I have not apprehended the cause for which I've been apprehended of Jesus. He said, God got a hold of me on the road to Damascus, and I have spent my life trying to apprehend Him and apprehend His purposes for my life. Listen, this is the persistent call of a man, is that we not only be watchful and be watchmen, but that we be persistent. We stand fast in the faith. Keep going for God. Keep going in our spiritual pursuits, family pursuits, individual pursuits. I love Proverbs 24:16. The Bible says, for a just man falleth 7 times and riseth up again, but the wicked shall fall into mischief. Listen, the persistent call of a man is to stand. And if you're down this morning and you've been saved, there's no reason for you to be down. There is no reason for you to lick your wounds this morning. There's no reason at all. And listen, emotions come and go, but there's no reason for pity parties this morning. If you've been washed in the blood and you've dropped the ball and slipped this morning, no matter who you are, man, woman, boy, child, listen, it doesn't matter. Stand. Get up. Because a just man falleth, but he rises up again. Why? Because he has been saved. He has accepted the finished work that Jesus did on the cross, and the righteousness that Jesus had been transferred to the person's life that accepts Him. And so God the Father doesn't see the Son, the individual, as a sinner anymore, but He sees the righteousness of His Son, Jesus. And because God the Father doesn't see our filthiness, because God the Father doesn't see our rottenness, guess who the only one that sees it is? Us. And simply because we shift our focus from Him to ourselves, we see our defeat, we see our blunders, and we see our fumbles, we see all of those things. But if we shift the role, if we shift our focus, and we get our minds and hearts set on the fact that Jesus saved us, and we have His righteousness, and God the Father sees God the Son's righteousness in our life, guess what? We can leave here in victory as men. The persistent call of a man. He said, stand fast in the faith. Keep on standing, men. Keep on standing. Keep on being persistent. Remember your pivotal calling as a man, that is to be a watchman. But then I want you to notice a third thing. In verse number 13, he says, not only the persistent call of a man, stand fast, but then the power required of a man. In verse 13, he says, watch ye, Stand fast in the faith. Quit you like men. Man up. Then he concludes with these two words. Be strong. Be strong. The power required of a man. We are required to be iron men. We are required to be strong men. The words be strong means to strengthen or increase in strength. We are called to be stronger spiritually today than we were yesterday. We are called to be spiritually stronger tomorrow than we were today. You see, the call of a man is one that is to be required of strength and to abound in strength. Turn, if you would, for a moment to Proverbs 27. Proverbs 27. I like to call this God's iron men. Proverbs 27, verse 17. Of course, this holds true to everyone, but this morning we're going to use it for men. Proverbs 27, 17. He says, iron sharpeneth iron. So a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. Men are called, men are, listen, men are iron men. Now, the problem is the sharpening phase. We're all called and we all are iron men. Iron sharpeneth iron. And that's for everybody. We are God's iron people. We are iron. But he says, iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend, Proverbs 27, 17. Now, my question to all of us men is this. If we're iron men, and if this verse is given an indication of sharpness or dullness, meaning an axe, a hatchet, doing its job is chopping and being productive. Iron sharpeneth iron. So a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. Are we being men in life? Are we being fathers? Are we being husbands that are living with a dull blade, a dull axe? Do we have a sharp? Are we iron men that are sharp? Or are we iron men that are dull? Are we making a difference in our families, our churches, in our lives? Are we chopping wood and making a difference? Or are we chopping wood and getting nowhere, meaning that we have a dull blade? Iron sharpeneth iron. And the idea is of a blade being, or at least I think of it this way, of a blade being sharpened. There's the block, and there's the blade. In fact, I think a couple weeks ago, Brother Don showed me he had a block, and then he had, as he always does, a blade of some kind. He said, see, you do it gently like this. Not too much that way, not too much that way, and then you just turn it over. And then, man, it has a blade on it. It's, that thing is productive, ready to be productive. It has a blade. But it took friction to get that way. There was some resistance there. There had to be some kind of friction. There had to be some kind of accountability. There had to be some kind of pursuit. There had to be some kind of persistence. A blade doesn't get sharp on its own. A blade must be taken to the grind, and a blade must be intentionally sharpened. Brother Don sharpened that blade and reared it back and sharpened it, flipped it over and sharpened it that way, sharpened it that way. He intentionally applied the blade to the stone. I believe sometimes we have dropped the ball in this area as men, standing for what's right and being dad in the home and being husband at home and listen, being there for our families and standing up for Jesus. I start with me first. Sometimes we have dropped the ball on this, and we're not persistent like we used to and not committed like we used to be. And listen, iron sharpens iron, but we have to be intentional to be sharp. Someone that you see, I'll just say it this way. Someone that you see in public that just, man, they look sharp. Look at that suit and shoes and creases in the pants, not a wrinkle in the shirt. Hair done. Man, They didn't roll out of the bed that way. I mean, it took a while. It probably took a trip to the cleaners the week before, separate trip to the haircut in place. Talking about men, not women. But applies to both. Shoes need to be shined. A lot of people want to look sharp but not do the work to be sharp. Listen. Hey, listen. To be that dad that impacts the world, to be the husband that is honored by his wife, and to be the dad that is honored by the kids, listen, it doesn't come automatically. There has to be some due diligence. There has to be some persistence. When things aren't right in the home, be the man and say, it's not right. When things aren't right in your child's life, say, honey, I know you want to do this, but I'm your daddy and I love God and you're not going to do this. Pay the price and be the temporary bad guy. Listen, we're understanding that more now than ever. Not that we have a crazy little girl in our hands. But she has an all-watchful eye, mom and dad, over her. And listen, sometimes she don't understand why mom and daddy says no. And she asks why. And I try to explain from an adult perspective why to a child. And it just will not happen. It does not register. You want to know why? Paul said, when I was a child, I thought as a child, I understood as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. Listen, there is a medium between adults and children. And there is just a limit on the understanding. And there comes a time where you just have to drive it home and say no. One day you'll understand why. God help us. Help me continue that as we get through and approach these preteen, teenage years. Go ahead and send the prayers up. Being spouse, keep the lines tight, men. Know your spouse. Know what's going on in your house. Keep the lines tight, men, concerning your children. Keep the lines tight concerning your job at the church. Keep your lines tight concerning the church. Know what's going on. Because when we get to the place where we could just go through the motions and not care, it'll show and the whole church will be affected. In the home, when we get to the place where we don't care as husband anymore, it'll show and the home will be affected. When we get to the place where our parental advisory and watchful eye, we just give in. It's better to give in than rock the boat. It'll show. And I think it has in a lot of children in their preteens and teenage years are so rebellious and they want to leave home. And listen, sometimes that just happens that way because of the devil and the bullseye upon their back. But it all starts in the home. Let's be men in the home. Let's be men at church. The Bible says, be strong. Be strong. Iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the counsel of his friend. Iron as cutting, being an axe head. God's iron men. As men, we are called to be sharp men of God. Sharp in prayer, sharp in the word, sharp in the church, sharp in the world, sharp husbands, sharp fathers. An axe is a tool used by one to get the job done. Is our axe dull this morning? The power required of a man, the persistent call of a man, and then the pivotal position of a man. Listen, this is a call this morning to manhood. To all men, but to all people. I want to say this morning, starting with myself, man up even more. Man up even more. Let's be God's iron men. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We love you. We praise you, Lord, for who you are and for what you do. What a sobering call to be the kind of man you want us to be, O Lord. Regardless of our position, if we're married or not married, kids or not kids, Father, just being a Christian man, being a Christian person, doesn't matter the gender, we're all called to be sharp. And Lord, there's times where we do become dull. I become dull. Look, it takes persistence to be sharp. My prayer this morning, if there's somebody here, Lord, where they feel like things have grown dull at home, relationship, no matter what it may be, let them come and get sharp this morning by doing business with the Holy Ghost. We love you, we thank you, we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. You may stand to your feet.